Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays with yours truly, Chris Bricker and Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, to talk about new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we spin into an historic 2021, having left one of the most challenging years in recent history. We have two special guests for our time together. Tanya Barnett has been recruited into the role of the new Family Resource Navigator for the YMCA of Jefferson County. Tanya has a variety of experience working with families and the community of Jefferson County, and she most recently has served as Washington State University Extension 4-H Coordinator, and she also has experience working with families as a youth and family pastor. Also joining us is Wendy Bart, CEO for the Olympic Peninsula YMCA. Wendy has had a long career with the YMCA that encompasses not only her involvement here in Jefferson County, but also in the Western Washington region across the water from us. I want to welcome you both here to Community Tides. We're here to talk about the creation of the new role of Family Resource Navigator and how it all came about, why it's an especially good fit for these difficult times. And welcome, Siobhan, as usual.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be with you as usual.
And welcome, Tanya and Wendy.
Thank you very much.
I'm fascinated with the idea that you have created here. Tell us something about this new role of Family Navigator.
So I would actually describe this as coming from the community of the community. And honestly, it was really a very grassroots conversation that started taking place with the onset of the pandemic and schools closing. And there was just general concern that for the first time in families' history, they were faced with almost total isolation. And so families that may have relied on the construct and structure of school and church or friends and neighbors to really balance and keep the family whole, that we were faced with an experience of basically total isolation for families. And the concern in the community was, how do we support these families? How do we help them access the multitude of resources available in Jefferson County? And there are many, but there was no one central place to go, no one phone number to call, no hub, if you will, for accessing resources. And so even as community-based organizations, we were unaware of the scope, the depth and breadth of support services available. And so we were limited in helping families because we weren't aware of all of the different services and resources available. Out of this grassroots conversation, it became very clear that one of the things that would be important is having a place where families could turn, one place that they could turn to talk about what they were experiencing, talk about their struggles or what they needed. And that one place could be their connection to the resources that they need. And so that was really how the Family Resource Navigator concept was birthed, finding a mechanism by which people could go one place and get connected to the resources and support they need. And also a person who could gather all of the information about all the different resources available in the community. So as community-based organizations, social service agencies, we would know who was doing what. Also look and explore ways that we could be more efficient in supporting kids and families in our community.
So enter Tanya Barnett. What are we seeing? A lot of things have morphed.
Yeah. So first of all, I've been in this role for about a month and a half, and so I'm very new to it. My longer time gig prior to this is being a mom and being a parent during this time of pandemic. And my own personal experiences of a family and what that feels like to be disconnected from some of those really vital folks that we lean on throughout our day-to-day life. That's my primary experience in coming into this, is as a peer. I am a peer for other parents. And so in this last month and a half, my primary job has been to listen as best as I can, if not to the actual families at this point, because some of that is a matter of building relationships and building trust and building a pathway for families to be directly in touch with me. So in the interim, I'm in touch with a variety of school counselors, of folks who I would describe as being on the front line these days. For example, we have our wonderful YMCA childcare program that is just going so strong and has been one of those vital threads that has really, really sustained working families throughout this pandemic. It's been a lifeline. And so for those staff who are on the front lines there, they've been maybe the only person outside of a child's family or person's family that has been there for them. And so what are they hearing? And I have my nice little spreadsheets where I've literally said, share with me the greatest requests that you're hearing during this time and give me your go-tos. So I'm learning from those who really are on the front lines. I think the thing that I keep hearing all throughout the day is really the mental health, the concerns that are just coming out everywhere for the mental health of our youth, whether that's seniors who are graduating this year and all of those really important, although, you know, for some of us, they seem perfunctory, but those rites of passage of leaving your childhood and starting out as an adult, they're just completely absent. So how are we helping to really carry those new leaders in our community from childhood into that place of adulthood? That's just one section of our population, obviously, but you think about it. And I just want to go back to something that Wendy said in terms of this being a grassroots movement. One of the key voices for this position early on was a woman and a therapist in our community named Lisa Marks. And she talks about secondary trauma. So you have the experience itself, you have the pandemic, you have adults losing jobs and adults losing their health, and even in some cases, unfortunately, losing their lives. Well, how does that translate into the family? What are the secondary traumas that our kids are experiencing, kids and adults? I don't mean to just always come back to the kids, even though that is where my heart is, but those things that we don't even think about as sort of the day in, day out. What does it feel like to have a parent who is so desperate for the first time in your life as a small person to see your rock really get beaten up? So I think first and foremost, again, I think it's the mental health of our kids, certainly the mental health of our caregivers widely. That's a huge, huge concern day in and day out.
On that note, Chris and I regularly talk about mental health issues on this show. It's so important to us. So I'm so glad you raised it. I'm wondering if you could lift up some of the resources that are available to families for their mental health and caregivers, and maybe some ideas about how we as a community can be part of that response.
I'll start, and then hopefully, Wendy, you can come in. I think, first of all, we have ongoing concerns that obviously they preceded the pandemic. And I want to give a couple of statistics because I think they speak to how our community has been trying to respond even before the pandemic. So back in 2018, we conducted the Healthy Youth Survey, and that went out very broadly to youth throughout Jefferson County. And it's really healthy youth being, you know, everything from peer support to substance abuse to, you know, all the protective factors that we want to see in a child's life. So one of the statistics that came out of that dealt with mental health. And back in 2018, this is just an example where we had 36% of our 10th graders reported that they were making a suicide plan. 36%. That's in comparison to statewide 18% in that age range. So we've known this for some time. This is not new, that our mental health needs as a county, and especially among our youth, are quite high compared to state statistics.
That's an astounding statistic.
It is. And I don't want to take us too far down a very scary path, but I work with the CHIP group, which is the Community Health Improvement Plan. And I've just learned that during this pandemic time, nationally, there was just a study that came out, 11,000 youth who were surveyed, And among them, 32% of the students said that they report mental health as a major source of stress, as compared to 26% pre-pandemic. So that's a difference of 26% pre-pandemic versus 32% during the pandemic. So that's close to an 8% jump. If we translate that over into Jefferson County, we're looking at more of a 45% increase in, say, a suicide plan. If we're looking at how does the pandemic impact mental health, and if we take any one of our statistics and we increase that by another 8%, say, if that's what the pandemic is doing to us, we're looking at a really, really big problem. So scary, very scary. And I want you to know that I've just left a CHIP meeting where the number one priority among that age band group is to get to zero suicides in our county as soon as possible. So you have an active, very compassionate group of people throughout our community representing every service sector that you can imagine, where this is number one priority. And it's not something that's, you know, 2 years into the future. It's now. It's happening now. And these folks are coming together every 2 weeks to get an action plan together and to mobilize. Okay, so that's the bigger picture. The smaller picture is, I think, things that day-to-day, what we can be doing. One of the strengths that we have coming out of that Healthy Youth Survey that we know is that we actually have a much higher rate of students who say that they feel connected to a solid adult in their life, that they can talk to an adult about things that disturb them. And I don't have the statistic in front of me, but it exceeds the state statistic. So that is to say that even though our reality is a lot bleaker in some respects, our ability for our youth to feel as if they can actually talk about these things, that's really high. And so that's where our school counselors, they're stepping up every day like you can't believe. We have MCS counseling who is just filling in so many little holes just in the school system alone to make sure that we have a really, really healthy group of counselors who are just on site and ready to receive students as their needs present. As far as our sort of outside of school programs, we have programs like the Building Futures program through the YMCA that Dana Nixon facilitates, and that's a one-on-one mentoring. We have things like Skillmation, which again is ostensibly for academics, but again, you have a caring adult in the room who's helping with academic challenges, and obviously that high priority for a number of our students now. In addition to that, I will send you a couple of links. One that DCYF just put out, it's a parent's resource guide during COVID. And what I find particularly handy with it, in addition to just a lot of numbers that you can call if you find yourself in a time of crisis, it's also a really good resource because it gives you sort of the Cliff Notes version of really important parenting skills right now. Just good information that is concise. It isn't something that a parent would need 3 hours to really get something good out of, or any caregiver for that matter.
And Siobhan, I think we could probably say that you would post those links.
Folks can find that at jcfgives.org. And I would assume too that the YMCA will also have that up on their website too.
Right. Within a very short amount of time, and it's not just high school or junior high school, it's that period of time in youth and how important that is. And I would like personally to give a shout out to the counselors and the caregivers that are doing this, and to remember that they need just as much care as the youth do, you know, in order for them to keep doing their job.
I'll just add in, I think as a community, one of the things that's most important right now is that we all genuinely care for each other. You know, there's a saying, you know, who cares for the caretaker? And we can't discount how important that is. And sometimes it's just a simple gesture or just an overture of talking to someone, saying hello, really seeing them in this time where it's been really hard to be seen. We're only seeing each other via a screen, but reaching out to people, hey, is there anything I can do for you? How can I support you? I think It's the approach I've tried to take personally. And as an organization, I think we've spent time just saying, how can we help? What can we do? But I don't think we can be asking that too much right now. And I think it is as simple as it sounds to just really be there and listen and care for people and offer care and support. I think it's a key ingredient in getting through what we've been through and also moving forward. We're talking about a lot of truth here, a lot of the truth of what's happening, but I think we can also point to hope. And I think one of the things that I've noticed is just how amazingly the community has come together. We've widened the safety net. We have more coordination. We're all coming together and all talking about what can we do and how can we help. And I think we have this beautiful opportunity to leverage that, to make that safety net wider, deeper, stronger, and continue moving forward with solving problems that existed before COVID that were, again, illuminated during COVID. But I think we've been given a very unique, but in some ways beautiful opportunity to reset who we are as a community and how we function together as a community.
I spoke with a couple of gentlemen now that are doctors, Port Townsend High School graduates. And one of the things that they really emphasized was that empathy really, really goes a long way. I spoke with them at the time when they were overwhelmed with the pandemic and how important empathy was for them as caregivers. Mm-hmm. That coming from a couple of Port Townsend High School graduates was quite moving and quite uplifting.
I'm so glad you said that, Chris. Empathy is really at the root of all change and at the root of all resiliency. So I think being just standing in that place and asking ourselves, are we spending time on empathy with each other and not just in our own minds, but in the expression of our daily lives these days? Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to following along as this role and as the Y continues to evolve as a cherished community asset here. We are so lucky to have leaders like you and leaders in the food systems area and financial assistance. They're just such a dynamic nonprofit sector. And just thank you for the work that you're doing. You're just filling such a huge gap here, and we're just grateful. Tanya, if families are in need of assistance, who should they contact? How do they get in touch with you?
They are most welcome to contact me. And my cell phone number is 360-565-6025. And my email address is Tanya, that's T-A-N-Y-A, at Olympic Peninsula YMCA.org.
We could do an entire program on the young ones, the little ones, mm-hmm. and what they're going through. So our discussion is not over yet. But I want to thank Tanya Burnett, who has been recruited into the role of the new Family Resource Navigator for the YMCA of Jefferson County, and Wendy Bart, who has had a long career with YMCA, and she is the CEO for the Olympic Peninsula YMCA. I want to thank you both for spending some time with us here on Community Tides.
And you all take good care of yourselves as well, please.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.